in effect, all these meetings were about Christ Jesus, because, as was pointed out by almost everyone who has contributed, Christianity is Christ. We need to take that away with us again. Christianity is Christ. He's at the beginning. That word's at the beginning of Christianity. And I think Leonard was pointing out, and then Christian, of course. They're all connected up. Christ and Christian. And that little letter I, of course, in the middle. And so we've been thinking about the introduction to Christianity, the influence of Christianity, wonderful, the impact of it in Scotland. Then John, the last week, spoke about Christianity and the individual. Because after all, yes, that little I is very important. It all has to do with each individual's response to Christ Jesus. And then, of course, we want to think briefly about the importance of Christianity, because it is the most important subject, because it speaks about the most important person, the Lord Jesus. Now, just one or two verses with that in mind. First of all, in Matthew, we're in the Gospels, for our readings, two or three of them. Matthew 16. And verse 13. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, he's narrowing it down now, he's coming to them. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." There's our word, there's our person, Christianity. Thou art the Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful statement. What a wonderful revelation to Peter. And here it is from his very heart. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now over to John's Gospel, please, for one or two readings. John 4. A most interesting story. We'll not be able to say too much about it. John chapter 4. And further down the chapter, please. Verse 25 of John chapter 4. The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Verse 29, this is what the woman of Samaria says, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Wonderful that. And she said later on, she says, "We have heard him, we believe in him, that he is the Christ, the Saviour of the world." That's wonderful. That's what the Samaritan said about the Lord Jesus. "Thou art the Christ, the Saviour of the world." Now go to the end of John's Gospel, please, just for a verse. We're thinking of John 20 this morning. John chapter 20 this morning. Right to the end of John 20. Verse 30 says, "And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but," here's the verse I was thinking about, "but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." These are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The folks in Samaria said they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now we're reading in John chapter 20 that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And so we want to think about Christ today, because there is no Christianity without Christ. Let me just home in on this a wee bit. Let me say to every one of us, there is no forgiveness without Christ. There is no life that's worthwhile without Christ. There is no heaven without Christ. And so you can see even from these introductory remarks the tremendous, vital importance of this subject and of this person. Because this is going to affect our present life and its direction and a lot of things about this present life. Christ will affect our lives if we trust in him. But if we reject him, our lives will be affected in another way altogether. We'll be missing some wonderful things. And so, Christ. There's no heaven without him. There's no peace without him. There's nothing that's worthwhile without Christ. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Son of God. First of all, and probably most importantly, and it has been emphasized over these last Sundays of August, Christianity is not a religion. We need to be very clear about this. There are probably hundreds of religions in the world. There's nothing to do with Christ Jesus. They don't make much of Christ Jesus. They don't see Christ as being the Savior of the world, the Son of God. It has been pointed out, and rightly so, that it's not a religion. It's a relationship with Christ himself. A personal, individual relationship. We had a talk with a man at our door not too long ago about a number of things from the Bible. So I came right to the point and said to him, I told him when I became a Christian, when I was a boy of 7, almost 8 years of age, that's when I entered personally into that relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, all these years ago. And of course, I've just been singing, "Now None But Christ Can Satisfy." So yes, he not only has saved us, but he satisfies us day by day. That's what Christianity is all about. So anyway, coming back to this little talk we had, and I says, when did you come to know Christ Jesus? When were you saved? Oh, he said it was when I joined the organization. See? Ah. I says, let me just make one thing clear here. A person is not saved by joining a church or joining a group of people or joining an organization. It all has to do with this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For some of us, we were young when it happened. I've told you often it was the 19th of February when I came to know the Lord. Yes, the 19th of February. It was just like yesterday. Yes, just like yesterday. And we thank God day by day. And I'm sure we all do. We should anyway. We should thank God day by day for his delivering grace, his mercy to us, his love extended to us, that he saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us, notwithstanding all. How wonderful. And so it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How does it begin? What's the start of that relationship with Jesus Christ? Because we're all wanting to know that. Surely, we need to know it. What's the beginning of it all? What's the basis of it? I was thinking in John chapter 1, we didn't read the verse. But in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this. There's a sadness about it, and yet there's a blessing about it too. It says that the Lord Jesus, the one we're thinking about, this very important person, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, says John 1 and 12, to as many, praise God for that, to as many as received him, to them gave he, it says the power, but it means the right. To them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. He came into his own world. The very world that his hands had made. We're thinking about that this morning. The world that he created and formed by his mighty power. And he condescended from heaven. How wonderful. He came down. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor. You know something? There aren't very many people in this world. I don't think I've met anybody. I'm not saying there's nobody. I don't think there are very many people who have chosen to be poor. Not very many people have made poverty their choice. But my Saviour has. He became poor. He left the riches of heaven. And he came down here and he was poor. He was poor. He chose it. And that's only part of what's involved in our salvation. Only a part of it. The Lord Jesus coming down into this awful world of sin and sorrow and sadness. He came down. In wings of love he came down in order to rescue us. It was really a rescue mission that the Lord Jesus took when he came down. Yes, it was a rescue mission. He came down to rescue us from our sin and misery. He came down to save us and rescue us, make us his own. So we're coming back to John chapter 1. Yes, he came into his own world, but his own people, the Jews, we are told, rejected him. They didn't welcome him. They kept him at arm's length. Let me ask you a question. Is there someone in the meeting this afternoon? We're glad to see everyone. Is there anyone keeping the Lord Jesus at arm's length? Just keeping him at a distance. They kept him at arm's length. They didn't want him in their thoughts or in their plans or in their schemes. They just wanted to live their lives day by day without any reference at all to Christ Jesus, this most wonderful person who loved us unto blood, died upon the cross in agonies and blood in order to rescue us and save us. But they wanted nothing to do with him. And even at the cross, it says, away with him. We don't want him. We don't want this man to reign over us. We don't want this man to rule our lives. We don't want this person to tell us what to do. I think we can all see the importance of that. But, says the verse, but. To as many as received him. Thank God for those words. Even in the midst of all that rejection, there were those that loved him, and there were those that received him. There were those that welcomed him with open arms, trusted in him, received him, accepted him. To them gave he the right. Now notice what I'm going to say here. I'm quoting from the scripture here, first of all. I want to emphasize something here. To them gave he the right to become the children of God. We don't earn the right to become the children of God. We don't deserve the right to become the children of God. We were given that right. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, the unspeakable privilege of becoming the children of God. There's a big fallacy about this, you know. We meet people who say, but we're all born children of God. No, we're not. Nowhere in the Bible is that taught. Nowhere. We are not born children of God. Indeed, the very opposite. The Bible says we're born in sin. We're not born the children of God. We're born in sin. We've come from Adam's stock. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we're not born children of God. Do you notice what the verse says that we've quoted? John 1 and 12. To become. That's it. That's so different. To become the children of God. I've told you when that happened for me, when I was 7 or 8. I became a child of God. Other folks here could come up and give their testimony. And they would tell you, and all these testimonies are different, but they all lead to Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. They're all about the Savior. And they can look back to that time, that specific time, when they came to know him, when they received him, welcomed him into their hearts' lives. And it was at that point that they became children of God. Wonderful. At that moment in time, they entered into the greatest family that's ever been known. The greatest family. God's family. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't we glad today that we're in God's family? And he's our Heavenly Father that takes a deep interest in us, every one of us. And he cares for us. He loves us. That's the family we're in. And he desires the best for us at all times. What a wonderful family. God's family. Paul says we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the other thing about this. To them gave he the right to become the children of God. It doesn't stop there, though. Even to them that believe in his name. That's why I read that verse at the end of John 20. These things are written that you might believe. That's the whole point of John's gospel. 21 chapters. We'll be starting it soon, chapter 13. We're looking forward to it, aren't we? The lovely ministry of the Lord Jesus, the sayings of the Lord Jesus. But these things are written. Why? What was the purpose of them being written? That you might believe. That you might believe. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life. These things go together. Through accepting him, through receiving him, through trusting in him, we have life. We sometimes sing about it, don't we? Life, life, abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, eternal life. Glory to Jesus forever. That's what marks out the Christian, by the way. These important things, the importance of Christianity. I wrote down some while ago, what is a Christian? What are the principal marks of a Christian? Here they are. Or you could add your own to this. He believes in, he or she, the Christian believes in Christ. That's been the whole point of these meetings, hasn't it? They believe in Christ, the Savior of the world. They belong to Christ. We've been thinking about that, haven't we? They belong to him. They're one of his. Isn't it lovely how it says in John's Gospel, having loved his own, that were in the world, his own. That's us. Every Christian's in that little category, his own, precious to him. Oh, I love to think about it. We're very precious to him. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end, because his love will never cease. So, these are the marks. It all starts with belief. They believe in him. They belong to him. They behave like him. Maybe that's the bit that maybe we don't like so much. They behave like him. But those are the marks of a Christian. Those who are followers of Christ, as Johnny was pointing out last week. In fact, I remember one of the questions he asked was from James, what is your life? Johnny was bringing these things before us last week. What's your life? Then he went on to another important question. What shall I then do with Jesus, called Christ? Children of God. Are you a child of God? Is there someone in our gathering today, and you can't really say in all honesty and truth, I'm a child of God? You can't really say that. You can't remember a time when you became a child of God by believing in his name, that precious name, by trusting in his precious blood that flowed from Calvary. I was thinking about one or two individuals that need to watch the time. There was a little man called Zacchaeus, and of course, the children. Great to see these children. We'll love to see you all. And you know the story of Zacchaeus. But one of the things about him was this. Two important things anyway. He received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Yes. And you might have looked at Zacchaeus and says, well, I don't know if he needs the Lord Jesus. He's rich. He's got plenty of this world's goods. He doesn't need Jesus Christ. He's self-sufficient. But the first thing we were told about him was that he sought to see Jesus. He had an interest in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, I hope that we've all come here today because we've an interest in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Particularly if you've never yet accepted him and received him. I'd love to think that you've got an interest in Jesus Christ. That's how the story of Zacchaeus began. He wanted to see this person because he was interested to see him. And the story goes on, of course. The children know the story. They could tell it well. And it says a wonderful thing. After the Lord spoke to him and appealed to him, this is what said about Zacchaeus. He received, he came down from the tree and he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. I don't hesitate to say this, that it was the happiest day in the life of Zacchaeus. It was the best day in his life when he embraced the Lord Jesus. He accepted him. He received him. That was the happiest day of his life. And you'd like to think that it just got better and better as time went on. That's wonderful. Well, that's what the Christian life is like, isn't it? It gets better as the days go by. The hope that we have in Christ, the peace that we've got in him, we sometimes sing about it, don't we? It all gets better as the days go by. What about you tonight? You know, the blind man was asked a question. The questions in the Bible are wonderful, of course. They're very pertinent. Very pertinent. They apply to us. They're relevant to us. On this, the last day of August. Here's what the Lord asked the blind man. Do you believe in the Son of God? That's very pertinent, isn't it? Do you believe in the Son of God? Let me ask you that question today. Do you believe in the Son of God? Time's almost gone. Here's another question. The Lord said to some of his own, he says, you should rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Great cause for rejoicing. He says, look, your names are written in heaven. So you should be rejoicing in that. Well, maybe somebody thought, I didn't know there was a register in heaven of names. Oh, yes, there is. And whenever we accept the Lord Jesus by faith and believe that he died for us upon the cross and took our sins away that we're singing about, he writes our name down. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to the last book of the Bible. Our names are written in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And our home is in heaven. Our eternal home. The homes that we've got now are just temporary. We're just passing through this world. And heaven is our home. Our home. So I'm going to ask you a wee question. A very important one too. About Christ Jesus. Is your name written in heaven? You'll need to think about that. And only you can answer that. Is your name written in heaven? All who believe in him are forgiven of their sins, have peace with God, and their names are written in heaven. This is what Christianity is all about. It's all about Christ. Receiving him, trusting in him, believing in his name, that wonderful name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's a long while since I heard that one. And he's just the same. That's his lovely name. And that's the reason we can say as Christians, why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I trust that at the end of this series of meetings that have been so helpful, so interesting, because it's all about Christ Jesus, that someone will truly receive him to as many as received him. That's the whole point about having these meetings, you know. That's the whole purpose of it, that someone will receive Christ Jesus and their sins will be put away, taken away. That's why we sang so meaningfully, he took my sins away. You'll be able to say that. Once you receive him and believe in him and accept him, you'll be able to sing, yes, Jesus Christ took my sins away. And I'm a different person altogether. And he's changed my life. And now every day is different. And every day is a blessing. Because he is in my life. He's the source of my life. He's in my life. And that would be wonderful. Now we'll just close with a word of prayer. And then we'll sing a hymn at the end, 250. But let's just briefly close. It's been good to see everyone today. And as we often say, we're glad that the children are here. And they do sit up very well. And we're glad of that too. And so just let's commend ourselves to our Heavenly Father. And we'll sing something at the end.